7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Okay, hey, welcome out and abouters. I am your host, Captain DJ Mave. Welcome to Out and About, and
you're listening to KYRS at
88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Do that again, Jeff. Oh. I didn't have the button for it.
All right. You're listening to Thin Air Community Radio, KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Yeah, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
Right.
Hey, welcome, Jeff. Now, Jeff Ferguson is my guest today. And I find, you know, I had to do a little research, as I do before these shows. And I found you are in the middle of everything. And everything good.
Let's be clear.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe that's a matter of opinion, too. I don't know. But why don't you tell folks about the show that you used to have here on KYRS? Maybe you're a familiar voice to some of our listeners.
Oh, yeah. We used to do, so Twilla Abrahamson and I and Eve and, boy, Gabe was on the air back when we first started. We had Inner Treble Beat. We were every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on KYRS. We had, all sorts of Native American topics and music, and we did all sorts of different things. We had so much fun doing that. You know, the first show, I think we had like a five-piece band perform live in that little tiny studio.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a smaller studio than this one even. And so you would have had the time slot right before mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. Yeah.
But today we're going to talk a lot about Expo 74 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and we're going to talk about other stuff, too, because I do have... I've got a lot of questions.
Oh, no.
I'm a question.
It's exciting to me because I do interviews occasionally, and sometimes people don't do their homework.
Yeah.
I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people, and I love doing the homework. I love digging back, and kind of you get to good, you know, to a good feel of what motivates people, and kind of, you know, yeah. If you just do a little digging, you know, I'm Googleable.
Well, so, you are Googleable. And you know, the thing that I really like is, and hopefully this happens today, is I have questions, but hopefully we get lost on a tangent and I never get to them.
Oh, no.
That is the best thing that ever happens, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm ready to roll, man.
So now, were you around during Expo 74? Were you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
How old were you?
Okay. I was born in 1970, but I was born in November. So I was actually only three when the first Expo 74 was done here. Okay. But there are things I remember. I remember the bumper cars.
Really?
And I remember the butterflies, and I remember the gondolas and the ski lift rides and stuff and some of the performances.
Yeah.
So yeah, we came down several times.
Did you?
Yeah.
We lived out of town. Well, we lived in San Jose, California. We came up here and went to Expo on our way to visit relatives in Minnesota and fell in love with Spokane.
Oh, yeah.
So then we moved to Spokane.
It's kind of a neat place.
Yeah, it is a neat place. And how did you get involved? Now, first of all, by way of definitions, why don't we just talk a little bit about yourself first? So you are a Spokane tribe member, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a Spokane tribal member. Mm-hmm. I have just as much Kalispell blood, and I also have a little bit of Nimiipuu, which is Nez Perce, and Iroquois.
Okay.
But I'm also Mexican.
So, wow. So
yeah,
a lot of feet and a lot of worlds.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm pretty much all Turtle Island. That's what we call it.
Yeah,
Indian
that's
country,
right.
We call it Turtle Island.
Turtle Island.
So, yeah.
Did you get involved in the Expo 74 stuff? Did you just kind of hear about it and volunteer? Or how did you get involved in this 50th anniversary?
So that's a great question. You know, when my fiance is Margot Hill, and Margot Hill and I were asked by Matt Santangelo,
Okay.
Who, you know, most people know Matt.
Matt was on this show.
Matt was
friend of the show. I can say friend of the show.
Oh, God. Matt's been, you know, that's another guy's done a lot of things here.
Yeah.
You know, he was on, I think, I want to say 1990 Gonzaga basketball team.
I think that's right.
And then, you know.
Oh, no, it would have been later than that, I think.
Was it? It might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been. But it was the early 90s. I know that.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. But he then went on to do great things with Hoopfest. You know, that guy's got, he's got a lot of friends in this town, man. He's done a lot of great things.
And he's just genuinely a nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah. He's great to work with, man. He knows so many different people and has just a great perspective. It's really refreshing to be able to have someone kind of, you know, I won't say pulling the strings, but you know, hurting everybody, because there's a lot of people involved in this. I think last I heard was like 60 different organizations or something like that. I don't know. I think when I first heard we had like 43 to start with, and then I think it was 61 or something like that. I don't know. I haven't been keeping track, but that was weeks ago that I heard that. And just that, it's neat because we see so many people that are just want to be part of this.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of times in things I've organized over the years, it's sometimes it's like pulling teeth. Sometimes it's like herding cats. Sometimes you really got to rally people. But for this man, they're coming out of the woodwork. It's really inspiring because it really shows, you know, the community spirit. It really shows people that take pride in our city and the community that we've built here. And I really think that the Riverfront Park and the Expo 74 really helped to keep our city alive.
Yeah.
You know, there's other cities around the country that haven't done so well. You know, the economy's changed, markets change, and when their main industries kind of died out, the city's kind of lost a grip on where to go. And I think because Riverfront Park has been, you know, just an icon, it's been the central, the river. It's really always goes back to the river.
Yeah.
It's why people have been here for 10,000 years. That's why what people brought people here.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of talked a little bit about that in there about how we're a cultural center too, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
And I think don't you think like Expo 74 was sort of the beginning of that?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Because when we were talking with Matt, we first started talking with him. He said it's still to this day is ranked as one of the top five expos of all time.
Yeah,
and that's up with Paris. It's like, you know, on a global stage, it really, you know, that's huge to be able to do that. But it had that impact, you know. Environmentalism was kind of the theme of it. It was the very first one that, from my understanding, that was themed around environmentalism. And there were things that were environmental, but, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
It's hard to do things without thinking about the money. And so you always have the capitalistic part that plays its part. But, you know, that being said, here we are 50 years later. And when conferences and conventions and sporting events and all of these different things that come to Spokane, you know, tourism is a major part of what we do here.
Yes.
And if you could imagine not having Riverfront Park and having it be that old stinky railroad, you know, hub that it was. I heard it was just nasty. And, you know, but beyond all that, because there was so much what should we say? The from the coal trains and the pollution and all those things, it just wasn't a very clean area.
Well, and you know, back then, I remember it really well, you know, the 70s. And I remember being a kid in elementary school and watching this. They were doing some bulldozing, I think, of some orchards or something. And the bulldozer had black exhaust pouring out of it.
Mm.
And all of us kids were shaking our hands and just screaming at the bulldozer driver because we were really incensed by this diesel smoke. And it was just like, that was the common thing that people could get around this. I mean, Nixon was the one who started the EPA, you know, which would be unthinkable today, I would think, politically, because we're so politically divided among things. Have you found that, you know, I would assume a lot is mostly what you're doing is sort of the indigenous response to this? Or?
So I wouldn't call it a response. We're one of the pillars, which is really nice because going in the expo, you know, is organized in pillars.
Okay.
You know, we have a sports and arts and culture
right.
and legacy, that kind of thing. But as a tribal pillar, Yeah, we have 9 weeks and we've created a bunch of programming for it. But in so many ways, it so fits our wheelhouse, you know, because, oh, yeah. You know, if we, you know, you talk about the 70s, looking back before Expo was built, they had rivers catching on fire. You know, there were horrible things that were happening to our environment. And we've been able to keep this area, I can't say pristine. You know, it's been a long time since we've been able to use the Spokane River as our primary source of drinking water, you know, yeah. where we could go down to and drink from it safely. Right. That's been like 150 years. Wow. But if you compare that to the way things were in the 70s and then where they're at now, we've come a long ways.
Well, even just in the last 10 years when they got rid of phosphates.
Yeah.
I mean, the river just cleared up yeah. Immediately. There's, of course, unseen pollution. But where I was going with the question about the tribal pillar involvement is that, do you find that, are there sort of disparate interests here? Or has everybody kind of coalesced? Because I think there's so many instances where we've seen a coalition of what people might think would be diverse backgrounds, but they all come around, like I think about like the labor union, Kaiser, and environmentalists being together. And I kind of wonder, when you have these different pillars of Expo, do you find that there's competition between them, or is there more cooperation or common ground?
That's, I think, a great question. And to answer that, yes and no. So we have found a lot of cooperation. I'll give you a good example. One of the things that we're working on is a film festival. And so we wanted to do an Indigenous film festival. And we had a group reach out that was working on an environmental film festival. And so now we are going to just combine them and co-brand it as an Indigenous Environmental Film Festival.
Oh, and excellent.
Because there's so many, you know, so many things, you know, I don't know if you, in your Googling, I don't know if you saw it, but I was one of 15 delegates that went to the Global Climate Summit in Dubai this last year.
Of all the things, I think I missed that one.
Okay. So we went with the group last year to Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. And I say last year, but it was the end of 2022.
Okay.
And then the end of 2023, we went to Dubai. And there's a huge movement of going back to Indigenous ways, you know. And when we describe, very simply put, the way I describe it, especially as it relates to this area, this region, my ancestors, the Spokane tribe, and the surrounding tribes had lived in this area and cared as stewards of this land, air, and water for 10,000 years. And it was only over the last 150 years that we saw a decline in the climate and in the water and the land and the air and all of these things. And the idea is just go back as much as we can. You know, obviously we can't completely go back, but as much as we can to our ancestral teachings and Indigenous ways and caring for Mother Earth and the air and the water. And when we start doing that and we think about that first, you know, when we start to think like that, rather than last, it's a reciprocal relationship that you have with Mother Earth and the water, rather than just extracting and extracting and extracting and then putting back the pollution. Yeah. You know, when you think about it that way, then things like this environmental Indigenous film festival, they cross in so many, you know, they intersect in so many different ways. It was really easy. And we're like, we have a budget. And they're like, well, we have people. And I'm like, well, I got a good idea on films. And they're like, well, there's some great films. So it's really a matter, you know, there's so many different things. It was like a panelist or a judge for the Spokane International Film Festival this year. So I had just seen like 70 films. And so going through and picking out these ones that I really liked that are going to fit event. Nice. And this project, it was really, really easy.
It's so cool when things like that come together, you know. Just when you're working on something like that and you go, hey, this is going to work perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
We can shove this in here and it just fits. I mean, it's very providential, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
So When you have been a lot of meetings then, all of you get together, or how does that work?
There are a lot of meetings. And just so to kind of go back a little bit and finish answering your question before.
Okay, thank you.
There are limited, so like we haven't had a lot of interaction with the people from sports. And we haven't had a lot of interaction from the legacy or that kind of thing. We have had some, but not a lot. And not to the extent that those pillars are really, they're going to work and they're doing their things. Yeah. That's their wheelhouse. And it's not that we've had a negative experience with them. We just, in my experience, I've had minimal interactions with them, with some of the pillars. And then when it comes to other ones, like environmental, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, we just jive together. It just seems natural to do that.
Well, that makes sense.
But to answer that question, we have had so many people that reach out that want to be part of this, and it's just over and over and over again. If I may, can I run down some of this stuff?
I'll run down some of this
stuff, and it just make it a little bit easier to kind of go more into what this is going to entail. So we're working on doing this film festival, and one of the films that we want to bring it back is Smoke Signals. You know, that's really iconic. And we've actually heard from Sherman Alexie, and I think we're going to have Sherman do a poem. And we're thinking about trying to get people down to the Blue Bridge, you know, where some of that was filmed. A couple other ones that we want to share is Bones of Crows, which was from up north, First Nations of Canada. Fancy Dance, which is a Lily Gladstone film we're trying to get. That was part of the film festival for SPIFF this year, but it's a really good film. And if you ask me, she did better in that than she did in
is that the one Misty Shipman was involved in?
Yeah, Misty really did an amazing job. Yeah, she rallied all of these films for SPIFF, and so we were fortunate to be able to see a lot of that. Inhabitants is a Colville tribal member that produced that. Water Bandits is an indigenous film out of India. There's just a bunch. We've got Amy Pfluger, is a tribal descendant of Spokane. She did some work down in Guatemala and has a short film. There's just a bunch of different people that are wanting to be part of this and involved in it. But to kind of keep things moving along, one of the big things that we're working on now is on June 21st is the Legislative Summit. And so that is happening in the convention center, and we're working in conjunction with that. The governor will be out to speak, and the mayor's going to speak there. And we've actually invited Deb Holland from the Department of Interior to come out, and we're going to put a formal letter forward with a few more signatures on it to send out to her, because we are doing an opening ceremony for the Legislative Summit. We'll be tribal. It's going to be, we're right at the river there. So it has a lot to do with the history and the policies that have affected this region and the people and the environment and Mother Earth and all these different things. At lunchtime, we're going to go down to the river from the Legislative Summit to do a salmon ceremony. We're calling back the salmon. As you probably know, we haven't had salmon here in over 80 years, but there's a huge movement right now. You know, the Biden administration allocated $200 million for the Upper Columbia tribes to bring back salmon over the next 10 or 20 years. I'd have to look a little more into that. But we have a salmon chief that'll be coming in from the Colville tribe, and we're inviting other tribes to join us, other people that, you know, we're trying to be more inclusive than exclusive on this, because that's the way our people were. The Spokanes, we invited everybody to come and fish at these falls every year, and we gathered at the river, and that's, you know, traditionally how we were. So later on in the afternoon, we'll be doing a dugout and sturgeon nose canoe races on the river there, going underneath the Division Street Bridge out to the edge of the park there, and then up towards the Centennial Trail Bridge over by the Law School of Gonzaga. That's the area that we're looking at doing. We're also going to be doing a big salmon and buffalo feed later in the afternoon. And so there's all of these things on June 21st in conjunction with the Legislative Summit. There's a lot to do going on. The Kalispell tribe was generous enough to donate a buffalo. And so they're gonna harvest one, and they're gonna prepare it for us too. So that's really huge. And we've asked some other groups to provide some indigenous first food side dishes to go with it. You know, camas, huckleberry stuff. You know, first foods from this area. We are working on doing a Salish TED Talk. I'm not a language guy, so that's really kind of out of my wheelhouse, but that is definitely one of the things that we would like to see. We have a good group working on two different powwows. The first one will be May 4th at the Pauline Flett Middle School, which is the opening day for Expo. We're having a powwow out there. And, you know, that's the brand new Flett Middle School out off where Joe Albey Stadium used to be.
Right.
This will be the second annual middle or powwow out there. And then we're also doing the big one in the convention center, which will be May 25th and 26th. And that's huge. We went and walked the convention center the other day, and it's going to be massive. I think we've probably got like 50 vendors that are already interested in helping out with like a Native arts market. It's pretty exciting. You know, there's
an
entire group of volunteers and a committee that's offered to help out with that. And they're some of the best. You know, there's going to be some prize money that'll bring in really good drums and really good dancers. And of course, it's right in the heart of downtown, so we'll have plenty of accommodations all around the area. It's just going to be really, really neat. We have a fashion show, a Native American music festival and fashion show, and Tina Nenema and some of the crew that handled the last couple of fashion shows out at Northern Quest, those guys, they stepped up and tackled that. They're like, yeah, we want to do that. And so that's what I mean. You know, people are coming out of the woodwork to be part of this. And they are so, they're so capable of pulling this off and making it an event. You know, they're going to make it all be.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really, we'll do spoken word, sharing that. And then we're bringing in some Native American actors, youth from the Red Eagle Soaring out of Seattle to share some plays. Oh, and then we'll be doing historical tours around like Four Mounds and through the city and talking about the history of this area and that kind of thing. There's a lot to it. There's 11 events. The events start May 4th and go all the way through July 4th. Let's see, the music and film festival the music and fashion show is just set. They just set it for June 13th.
Okay.
We're still working on the venue and tacking down a time for the film festival. But all this stuff will be on the Expo homepage. Expo
and that's 50. What I was going to ask you before we go to our 20-minute after the hour business, is if people want to find out more, if they want to be involved.
Yeah.
Sounds like you aren't. I mean, I imagine you probably have all the volunteers. You need more volunteers?
We always need volunteers.
Okay. So how do people step up and get involved and look?
For some of these events, it'll be volunteering, helping people with elders, maybe directing parking, maybe just directing people or serving. You know, if we have people that want to help serve with the salmon and buffalo, that kind of thing. We're going to need help people out on the water during the canoe races.
Okay.
We need safety crews, things along that lines. We're going to need ground crews, people that are going to help prepare the canoes and get them out on the water, then bring them back in and load up those. The dugout canoes are huge. I think they're like 300 or 400 pounds for those canoes. And so I think it's over 400 pounds on some of them. But we need volunteers.
So if someone were listening to this right now, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you or get in touch with whoever is going to be writing down the volunteers?
Well, they can email me. I have a nonprofit, and they can email me at our nonprofit at elksouped@gmail.com. So it just spells out like elk souped.
Yeah.
Elk soup,
I am, and that's one of my questions too. All right, so we're gonna do our 20-minute after the before the hour stuff.
Yeah,
and then we'll be right back, everybody. So continue listening, please, to me and my guest Jeff Ferguson. And here we go. Where was the song I was gonna play? Here we go. Thank you.
But sweetheart, it doesn't matter how much of our body we shatter, 'cause I've learned there's much less than 1% genetic difference between white and red, between red and white. And that thought keeps me awake at night, and that means Custer and I are 99% alike. And that means Custer and I are 99% alike. But sweetheart, it doesn't much matter how many of our illusions we shatter, 'cause I've learned there's just a little gap between X and Y on the genetic map of men and women, of women and men. And that thought makes me smile again. And that means you and I are 99% alike. And that means you and I are 99% alike.
But sweetheart, the difference. Yeah, sweetheart, that 1% makes a difference. Sweetheart, that 1% makes a difference. In my world, in your world, in his world, in our world.
Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
KYRS Thin Air Community Radio provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve and our radio programs as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting Give KYRS to the number 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for March 11th through the 14th. Monday, open mic hosted by Anthony Singleton at Live Entertainment next to the Goody Bar and Grill, Floating Crow Bar at the Spokane County Library in Medical Lake, open mic hosted by Kevin Partridge at Black Label, Imagine Jazz at the Bad Seed, open jam at Jackson Street, and open mic hosted by Ben Tendo at the Red Room. Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street and Austin Carruthers at the Checkerboard. Wednesday, open mic at the Downtown Spokane Public Library, the Kevin Shea Band at Iron Horse in the Valley, Mel Dalton at Zeke's Pizza, Shauna Nicholson and Sky Dornbuyer at the Wagon Wheel, open mic hosted by Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and the Roommates Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Jip Skippy and the Unprepared at Bolo's, Thursday Night Jam with the Sidemen at Chan's Red Dragon, A Killer's Confession and others at the Big Dipper, and the Tim Byrne Trio at Hamilton Studio. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
The
The great Pacific Northwest begins right here. World's Fair 74. Spokane, Washington. World's Fair 74. 50 years ago, the world came to Spokane. Come share a world of excitement. They can ride over the falls. So much to see and to do. You could never see it all. KYRS wants to hear your stories. Keep your memories alive and share your Expo 74 experiences. Go to SPOSPO74.com to learn more. That's SPOSPO74.com. There are nearly 20 million refugees worldwide fleeing terror, war, violence, and political and religious persecution. Refugees admitted to permanently resettle in the U.S. have been passed through multiple levels of rigorous screening and security clearance. They want what we all want: peace, security, and freedom from fear. Refugees are survivors, families, and no different from you and I. It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. More information online at embracerefugees.org. And you are listening to Out and About, and I have as my guest today, Jeff Ferguson, who is heading up so many things for this celebration of Expo 74's 50th anniversary. And I was going to ask you, Jeff, do you have, you know, anybody, if I remember right, that when Expo 74 opened, it really was a native presence there opening it, correct?
Well, that's a great question. So to kind of, just to be clear, Margo is amazing. She's really working hard. She's definitely working harder than I am with this.
Okay.
We're working on this and we're trying, you know, we both have our wheelhouses. We both, yeah, you know, do better, you know, in different things, but the collaborating with us and being able to utilize all the different resources and allies and all, you know, pulling everybody together is really what this is all about. And we couldn't do it alone.
And how is that for you to get, I mean, are everything's gelling well? And
oh yeah, we love to work together. Yeah. We love, because we each have, you know, she's a lawyer. Oh, and yeah. So she has, and then she's worked on the water quality standards of the river, and she's very deep in culture. And so she knows a lot of the history. She knows how important the river and the environmentalism and all this stuff is. And for me, you know, getting involved the past few years more in environment with the global climate summits and that kind of thing helps, you know, just reminds me, I have this perspective that, you know, and it's, I don't want to be the bearer of doom and gloom. My hope for all of this is that we can get the word out so much. You know, 50 years ago, they tried to get the word out, and we've been able to do things. Mm-hmm. But we are on the verge of an impending climate collapse. And there is not one of us that will survive this if we don't do something. And really, all we have to do is work to slow it down enough that we, you know, phase out fossil fuels, yeah, get rid of that old technology, and the technology and innovation will catch up to us so we can drag it out. Our futures are not yet written, and we have the opportunity to make this world a safe, livable, viable place for our future generations. And that's what my motivation is for this. And you know, to be able to work with Margot and all of her friends and all of our tribal members and all the people in the city and all of our allies and all the community members and everybody, it's just, you know, It's to me, it's just so empowering because it shows the love for our city, the love for our ancestral homelands, and the respect for Mother Nature, you know. Yeah. And it's exciting time. I don't mean to get off on a tangent.
Well, you know, like you and I were talking a little bit during the break about a film, and I'm getting off on a tangent now because I got to circle back to the question I was going to ask you, but you know, you are an activist and you have been involved. We were talking about a film you made 14 years ago about the uranium mining on the Spokane Indian Reservation. And I'm wondering, is it kind of circling back? Will you have folks, do you think, that are involved 50 years later that were there at the original one, that were involved in the original, you know, opening ceremonies and all that?
So that's a great question. And so, yes, we have, yes. So to kind of answer that, I'll do that and then we'll talk about the film. So yeah, when Expo 74 first happened, there were tribes that came out. There was the Macaw from Nia Bay. They came over and they performed for a week, and the Cauvilles were out here involved. The Spokanes were involved, but really, tribes were kind of an afterthought.
Okay.
We weren't a pillar then. We're a pillar going in now.
Yeah.
We are some of the largest employers in Washington State. We're some of the largest land owners in Washington State. You know, my tribe's 170,000 acres, and the Yakima and Cauvilles are massive reservations. And so to be able, and now we have a seat at the table. And it's exciting times. It hasn't always been that way. But we appreciate it, and we know we're learning, and we know this more and more, that we're less than 2% of the general population. There isn't anything that we want to do that we can do alone. You know, we have to. We're outnumbered 98-2 on everything that we do, whether it's salmon restoration, restoring the Spokane River, or air pollution, or whatever it is. You know, passing legislation for missing and murdered Indigenous women. We have to rely on our non-Native allies to help us do the things that we want to get done. And so this year, being a pillar, going into it, it's, again, it's about being inclusive, not exclusive, and including everybody. Because when I say, you know, I once heard the grandson of Chief Dan George talk, and at the end of his talk, he said, my grandpa used to say something, and I wake up every day thinking this. He said, have I done enough for my people? Mm-hmm. And he wakes up every day thinking that, and he goes to bed every day thinking that. And when I talk about my people, my people aren't just the Spokane tribe. My people are the community in the Spokane area. My people are the Inland Northwest region. They're the Pacific Northwest. It's the United States. It's North America. It's Turtle Island.
Yeah.
It's all the inhabitants of Mother Earth. You know, we're all in this together. And, you know, this is a great time to be able to highlight so many different things and come together and show that we don't have to let these things happen. You know, the environmental part of this, so oftentimes in these kind of things can get greenwashed and it can get set to the side. And if we don't make that change, we'll have consequences that we don't want to suffer through. And that's something, you know, earlier I mentioned I've been involved in climate and environmentalism for the past few years, but now that I think about it, it's been in my heart for a lot longer than that, because I did make that uranium video mine or uranium mine video.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, to me, it was really interesting. I went out to the Spokane Indian Reservation. I'm out of my res. There's a midnight uranium mine, and it ceased operations back in the 80s. And I knew it was an injustice, and it hadn't been reclaimed. And the company that did all the damage, they left this open pit mine, and it's been seeping radiation into the groundwater and into the Spokane River for, 40 years? Even longer than that. And they still haven't cleaned it up. It hasn't been completely reclaimed. But when I did that, you know, this is kind of really got me thinking about this. I made that film, and I got invited to go screen it down at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. And I got down there, and I didn't think much about it because the video is like, I don't know, like 10 minutes or something. But I showed that video, and they said, do you want to do a Q&A? And I was like, sure, I guess. And those people in Portland, they went on. That Q&A went on for 45 minutes.
Wow.
Because that's a tributary to the Columbia River, which comes, you know, right outside their door. They wanted to know what's going into that river, and it didn't occur to me that they would even care.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, this is something that we can put at the forefront during Expo. We don't have to just make it about capitalism. We don't just have to make it about tourism and filling hotel rooms and selling plates in a restaurant and all those. Even those are a byproduct of all this.
Right.
But we need to keep Mother Earth and our relationship with the environment at the forefront.
Yeah. Right.
Because we won't have any of that if we don't.
Right.
And so it's a great opportunity for that.
And you know, so you might have folks there who, you know, were part of that and that whole environmental message. But But then, you know, with your video and other things going on, especially like you were talking about global climate change, is that it's dire. Mm-hmm. And it's a dire circumstance now. And I think, and maybe I'm wrong thinking this way, but that Expo 74, if nothing else, it established like a level of acceptability, like what is right and what is wrong. It was out for the world to see that we should be caretakers. Man belongs to the earth, right there on the American Pavilion. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And at the time, that was a really profound message, not a really radical message either. Mm-hmm. But, and there's fringy groups that would disagree with that. But I think that, yes, there are things that are bad, but also that we know what's right and what's wrong now, I feel like. And maybe before that, it wasn't so blatant.
Well, we now know all of these are finite resources.
Yeah.
In the words of George Carlin, it'll come to a point that Mother Earth will shake us off like a bunch of fleas.
Right. The Gaia concept. This is a living organism,
yeah,
that we get to be a part of. And we're the ones that are endangered, not the Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, that's, you know, it is. There's a lot of doom and gloom behind that. But there's also a lot of hope.
Yeah.
You know, and the innovations that we see and the solidarity, yeah, in humanity.
Well, and you're a creator too. And I wanted to kind of talk about your work a little bit, mm-hmm, as far as, let me see what time it is. Oh, actually I got a break, but we'll be right back, everybody. And I'm not going to play any music this time because I want to ask you about your artwork and about your creativity and what kind of response that is. But before we go, let people know once again how they can be involved in being a part of the Expo 74 50th anniversary celebration.
Well, if they want to email me at elksouped@gmail.com, that's elksouped@gmail.com. That's for executive director. And I can point you in the right direction. If you want to volunteer, I can get you headed in some of the committees that we have working on, or I can send you to another pillar if there's a different pillar you'd like to be involved with too.
Okay.
But yeah, let me know.
Fantastic. Okay, here we go. We'll promise we'll be back right back.
Hey there, folks. Join me for a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week, I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition. Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
For some reason, this I'm supposed to be telling you to donate your car to us. Donate your used car to us, and apparently, this is not working right now. So I'm going to tell you, donate your used car to us, and you can do that online. You can do that a whole bunch of different ways. There used to be copy here that I would read, but it's not here anymore. But just hey. If you have an old car you want to get rid of, get a hold of us. All right. And now I'm going to read my underwriting statement. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods, located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m., Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. www.thenaircommunityradio.com. And I am back here with my guest, Jeff Ferguson, who is the also, you're the founder and the head of Elk Soup, besides doing everything else. And do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then we're going to dive in. Then we're going to dive into your artwork.
Okay. So, yeah, Elk Soup was an idea that Margot and I had. We co-founded back in 2020, just as COVID hit. So, yeah, the idea was to create an organization that could help to empower Native American families both on and off the reservation. And we do that through videos and workshops. We do it through, we did a thing called Amplifying Indigenous Voices last year, and we honored the OG Aunties. And we went through various Native communities in the area, and we found aunties, women that don't always get recognized. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to recognize them for their hard work. And some of it was decades and decades of hard work without any recognition. And so that's one of the things we did. We also do live Native art auctions and silent art auctions to help empower Native artists. You know, our commission's 10%, so we kick 90% back to the artists. And then we do, we're doing Native networking events the second Thursdays of every month. This month is up here on the Thursday. It's on Thursday night at the Crest Gallery from 6 to 9 p.m. And Jenny Slagle from Indigenous Eats is co-hosting it. Empire Health Foundation stepped up and they are sponsoring it. And we're getting some good momentum. We're having the executive director of the Spokane Independent Metro Business Alliance come out and present some of the features and benefits of Simba. And so we'll have different speakers every month. You know, that was one thing. You know, we also are into cultural stuff. So we did a traditional root digging tool making workshop. We had a friend of mine's a blacksmith, and he showed people how to hand hammer the root diggers.
Wow.
And so he'll be teaching hand hammered knife making and some hide scraping tools as well. And then we'll go do some root digging and take some groups up to do some huckleberry picking this later this year too. So yeah, all sorts of stuff like that. That's kind of Elk Soup. We're also looking hopefully to open a Native arts market.
Okay.
Kind of got that idea, and I think we might be able to do it. It's looking pretty good.
Do you is there a way for folks to check that out? Is it on Facebook?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Okay. Just Elk Soup, and
I mean, it sounds like a lot of activities and a way for Indigenous folks to stay connected.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we are very open to new ideas and new participants and collaborations and partnerships and all sorts of different things.
Yeah. You know, this is a great tie-in. You probably, being in radio, you made this happen. But, you know, you mentioned how you're supporting the arts and creating a place for artists to sell their works and you know, which basically, people do art, but it's, and it's to me, it's almost like an emotional, spiritual, mental response to things. Do you feel like we're kind of drifting into doom and gloom a little bit, but it is doom and gloom when we start talking about climate change, or more specifically, ignoring climate change? To me, is the most frustrating thing. Not that we're in this predicament. Mm-hmm. It's that every movie you watch, when the Martians are attacking or something's bad happening, we all rally around this and we make things happen. And this thing, it's like, it's people don't seem to care. But do you feel artistically, is this a response? Is there like an artistic response to the situation we're in on this as well?
I think there are a lot of artistic responses in a lot of ways. And so many, are really, you know, we have, I've heard songs, I've seen plays, I see t-shirts, I see films. There's, you know, that's kind of a broad question, but I think that coming from the youth has a lot of impact. When we see the art that depicts climate change, and, you know, we talk about a 3-degree world, you know, is a world that we can't survive in. And we've already passed halfway to that, you know, 1.5 degrees. Yeah. When we are looking at living in a 2-degree world, that is a kind of looks post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And I've seen that depicted in youth art. And that has a lasting impact on me. You know, it shows me kind of the I don't want to say hopelessness, but you know, it seems like such an uphill battle. And I think as a community, as generations that are responsible for a lot of this, you know, I rode 2-stroke dirt bikes, you know, I ran chainsaws, sure, just to run a chainsaw in my, yeah, hand. But when we look at that and we see what they're seeing, I don't want to leave that world to them. I want to leave them a world that is just as good, if not better, than the one I grew up in.
Yeah.
Because the world is a beautiful place and there are a lot of beautiful things, but we need to do something. We need, yeah, to do it quickly, and we need to be able to do it together. And really, a lot of it is just changing our mindset on things. You know, and it just kind of boils down to simple things. Like, if we all bought organic, then the biggest section of the grocery store would be organic, and we'd look at the GMOs and go, what were we thinking eating that crap anyhow?
And it'd be cheaper than, yeah, the GMOs.
And that's all we have to do, is just lean into it as a society rather than oppose it. And, you know, when you think about the stuff that we put in our bodies, the chemistry, you know, the pesticides and herbicides and all the different things that go into it, the water that we can't get out, all of these different, just if we can just quit,
yeah,
if we can do it, just quit doing it. And, you know, a lot has to do with, I'm also on the board for Simba, not to push them too much, but one of the things, the biggest campaigns there is buy local.
Right.
And if we think about, you know, and I use this as an example, I'm as guilty as the next person, but when we go order a pizza and we order that Hawaiian pizza that we love so much, that pineapple has a carbon footprint. It came all the way from Hawaii to get on my pizza.
Yeah.
But if we thought about that for a second, you know what would be really good is if we locally sourced the smoked ham from Washington State, and then we used something like peaches instead of pineapple on our pizza,
yeah,
from Green Bluff.
Well, that's a good idea.
And we start leaning more into the local stuff and stop reaching halfway around the world to get things that don't necessarily belong on our plate.
And you would start such a controversy among the people, the pineapple shouldn't belong on pizza.
Oh,
people,
yeah.
When you throw peaches in there.
Oh, yeah. They're peaches, right, don't belong on. Well, you know, it's fusion.
Yeah, fusion exactly.
And you charge twice as much. You know? No, it's kind of what it is. You make it fancier. You know?
Yeah, no, I think that's actually, that sounds, I'm weird. That sort of sounds good to me.
Throw some walnuts on there, you know.
Yeah.
And you're triple the price.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's, and that's it. You know, I tell people, you know, if you're gonna eat out, why do you drive all the way across town to eat out when you haven't eaten at all the restaurants between work and home? Just try one of those places between work and home that you've never eaten before.
Yeah.
And try there, you know.
Yeah, no, that's easy stuff to do.
Yeah, and it's easy.
It's not like it's not, you know, big sacrifices,
yeah,
at all. But, you know, and it's, and we're kind of running out of time here, but, you know, like the whole fifth generation is looking at the decisions you make, how that's going to affect folks. And I think when I was involved in union stuff, we always like, it was always like, we're going to make this job better for the next generation.
Right.
I'm not going to see these benefits, but we're laying the groundwork for some great benefits that are going to come after I'm gone, which has happened for the firefighters union. Because that's how, you know, people should be built, I think. And I think that sometimes there's this mentality that we're going to leave all these future generations this mess, and we won.
Oh,
we,
yeah,
won because we had the best time and you guys were stuck holding the bag. And it's like, when did we become these people? When did we become these people that would say, I would rather have it better for myself than for you, my grandchild or my great grandchild.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's, yeah, totally.
Okay. That was a nice downer move.
No.
To finish,
but, you know, there's so many things. There's hope.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are going, that are good, that, yeah, are great. We have so many solutions and we're getting better and better at adapting. And there'll come a point, and the analogy that I use, you know, I talked a little bit about organic foods, but if you think back not that long ago, when everybody had BlackBerries, or we were texting using the buttons on our phone that had numbers on them. And then all of a sudden, Apple came along, and the next year, everybody was swiping. And it's like, we didn't go to Swipe University. We didn't have to go study how to do that. It just happened.
Yeah.
And there'll come a time, if we keep pushing in the right direction, that everything that we were doing that harmed Mother Earth and harmed the environment and was harmful to us, we'll be like, what were we thinking? Why were we even doing that?
Right.
You know? And that shift will happen. And we'll be like, we don't need that. We don't need the money that bad. You know, and that's usually what it boils down to is right. Capitalism. But
saying that's enough.
Yeah. When is enough enough?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so Jeff, why don't you give a shout out one more time for people who want to get involved in Expo 74 celebration stuff, especially along your end of the tribal pillar.
Yeah. They can just Google Expo 74 50th. And that the website will come up, or if they have questions that they want directly, they can email me directly at elksouped@gmail.com. That's elksouped@gmail.com.
All right. And that's going to wrap up our time here on Out and About. And I sure appreciate everybody tuning in to our conversation. And if you stay tuned, you're going to listen to Jim Hightower, who might even be speaking right now. He kind of pops in and out. We don't know when he actually shows up. But then after that, for sure, we've got Amy Goodman with Democracy Now at 6. And then if you're into, or at 5, and then if you stay tuned at 6 o'clock, we've got...
to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Open for dine-in 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 12 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Gordy's Shishwan Cafe, located at 501 East 30th Avenue, with online ordering at gordysspokane.com.
The following program was pre-recorded.
Democracy Now! Receives support today from Kazuri, featuring fair trade gifts that support vital economic opportunities for communities around the world. Located at 35 West Main Avenue, information and online store at shopkizuri.com.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I want to thank the Haitian people for demanding what is good. I want to thank everyone in the government team. You have served with integrity, wisdom, and honor. God bless Haiti.
After a week-long state of emergency, Haiti's unelected prime minister, Ariel Henry, says he will resign once a transitional council is established. The Caribbean organization CARICOM has reportedly proposed a 7-member presidential panel that would appoint a new interim prime minister. We'll get the latest. Then to Gaza.
International humanitarian law lies in tatters, and the threatened Israeli assault on Rafah could plummet the people of Gaza into an even deeper circle of hell.
We'll go to Rafah to speak with Youssef Hamash, with the Norwegian Refugee Council, and to Francesca Albanese, United Nations Special Rapporteur on the occupied Palestinian territory. Then, as President Biden pushes a bipartisan bill to crack down on immigrants, the Tacoma, Washington-based advocacy group La Resistencia is reporting one death and two suicide attempts at the troubled Northwest Detention Center run by the private GEO Group.
I was brought back to my cell at around 11:30 a.m. and I saw a lot of people running around everywhere. The police arrived in the fire department. I saw that a man who was black appeared as if he had hung himself.
Go to Tacoma. All that and more coming up.